You know, I was thinking about the thought today is about standing or to stand. Of course, Webster's defines to stand is to take a stand, to maintain a stand, you know. Standing, we sang that song, standing on the promises of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when I was looking at this and I was preparing the message, the Lord was just laying on my heart, you know, how valuable and how important the body is and how valuable and important each and every one of you are to us and also to the kingdom of God. You know, Paul would say that his hope and his joy and his crown of rejoicing was to watch his children in the faith grow and mature in the things of the Lord. Our joy that we get and our crown of rejoicing is you growing spiritually and growing in the things of the Lord. It's kind of amazing to watch someone that the Lord transforms and changes and watch God take them from glory to glory to glory to glory. Amen? And, you know, and so God has something for each and every one of us today through this word. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18, the Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." How many know that the booger's always trying to hinder you? The booger's always trying to hinder me. He's always trying to, Paul said he was like a thorn in his flesh. That Satan had sent to buffet him, that he was bothering him. But here's what Paul said in verse 19. He says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Amen? And he was talking about the children of God. You are our glory and our joy. So today, the title this morning is message is Take a Stand. I think it's bulletin says, can we take a stand? But to take a stand and being fit for the kingdom of God, I like acrostics, so fit, standing fast, standing in, and standing then. Standing fast, standing in, and standing then. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration in the house? And are you with me? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me. I am listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have for me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. We're grateful that you sent it here this day to accomplish something in this house, to accomplish something in every heart and every life of each and every one that's gathered here. Now, Father, I lay myself down on the altar today, Father God, and I say, Lord, speak to me today. May the words that proceed out of my mouth come from you and not from me. Father God, may the words that are spoken from this mouth build up, encourage, and comfort every hearer in the room. And may there not be one that leaves this place in the same fashion that they came, because you constantly are taking us deeper and deeper and deeper from glory to glory. So, Lord, we're grateful for everything you've done so far, but we're grateful for what you're going to continue to do, and we'll never cease to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. So first he says that, he says in our text today, wherefore, he says, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing, or not even ye. And he's talking about you and me. So let's first, I want to look at standing fast, standing fast. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse number 7. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As the word of God is spoken, faith will increase. Amen. You'll do far greater things than you did before. We can do more of the faith we have, the more things we can accomplish, not only for ourselves, but for others and for the kingdom of God. Amen. In verse number 7, he says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all of our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. You know, one of the things that the Lord was reminding me about is the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So when I'm tried and I'm going through tribulations, all I have to do is look around and I'm comforted, and there's joy that comes that God's working in others for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. In other words, Paul was saying that's where he gets his joy. He gets his joy when he is seeing his children walking in faith.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And sometimes, as a body of Christ, we're gathered together, so faith with faith. You know, faith gets multiplied together. So as we're coming together, there's supernatural faith because there's faith in each and every one of us. There's a measure in everyone. You know, that's why the adversary tries to keep people from being in the house of God. But the Lord, the word of God says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, as we see the day approaching. Because this is where we're to be, is in the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Now, when in Galatians 5, just so you, I'm not going to take this out of context. Paul was, they were trying to put Jewish rites and ceremonies on top of grace. For by grace we're saved by faith, that not of ourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, they didn't have to be circumcised. It wasn't the circumcision that saved you. It was your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. But the Lord said to me, when we look at this word in Galatians 5:1, he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, he is speaking here of the yoke being circumcision, but how many know that God's delivered everybody out of something? How many know that God has liberated and set us free? And how many know that the adversary wants to entangle us and yoke us back to what God has brought us out of? Amen. I see it happen so many times. The adversary is subtle. He doesn't come in quickly. He comes in little by little. Amen. But what the Apostle Paul was saying, he said, we need to stand fast in the liberty and the freedom that we have. Amen. Amen. And in other words, God will never allow more on us than we can bear, and he always gives us an avenue of escape. Amen. And in other words, we can do all things through Christ, right? Amen. He's talking to us about standing fast in the faith, that we're hanging in there. You know, the enemy is trying to kill us, destroy us. He's trying to separate us from the kingdom of God. But Jesus, when he hung on that cross of Calvary, he paid the price for you and I. And all we have to do is enter into his finished work and believe it, and it takes place. Amen.
Amen.
Matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, again, our thought is standing fast. That we're standing firm, that we're standing strong. Amen? But in verse number 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world? But the God of grace, who have called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, I just want to say something, and I'm saying this by permission. How many know that sometimes God gives you permission to do things? I'm operating in permission right now. I know for a fact that when we get into alcohol as men and women of God, I know when we begin to drink that we weaken our senses, we weaken ourselves, and we open doors to the adversary. Now, see, anything you could do, we could do just about anything if we do it in moderation, but most of the time we can't drink with moderation. Most of the time we drink and we have another, and all of a sudden the door is open. You know, when we didn't have any plans for the adversary whatsoever, I was just going to have a friendly drink, and then I had another drink, and then I had another drink, and then I was a little topsy. And then all of a sudden I did some things I shouldn't have done. I know when I was a drunkard, amen, I was a mouthy person. I know my whole personality changed when I got drunk. And I know that who the adversary is and what he's trying to do. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. He wants to say, okay, a little bit ain't going to hurt anything, and a little really isn't going to hurt anything. But the problem is, if you can't control the little, and the problem is if we're a stumbling block to somebody else that can't control a little. God says, I'm not to be a stumbling block to anybody. Amen? Amen? So as far as I'm concerned, see, I'm a Levite. I took a Levite vow. I can't let it touch my lips. God delivered me out of so many things, and I'm not going to go back to that road just to make sure it's okay. I'm not going back there again. Amen. God said he's got everything. He says, leave the past behind and press towards the mark in front of us. Amen. Amen. You've seen some people get awful silly under the intoxicated with alcohol, have you not? Just saying. And you know what? That was just by permission. Say, thank you, Jesus. Then the reason he's saying it is because he loves you and he has a plan in your life. And he knows the weapons that the adversary will use to try to steal what God has instilled and what he has for you. Amen. And let me say something to you. There's an exception. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I hang around with it, but I don't do it. But I hang around. I drink because my friends drink, and they're my friends, and we have acquaintances. Let me tell you something. If you have to drink for somebody to be your friend, they're not really your friend. Hello? They're not really your friend. You know, because if they were your friend, like Jesus, he loved you just the way you are. He loved you for what decision you made. I don't know about you, but I made a decision to follow Jesus. Amen. I made a decision to follow him. And I'm going to follow his steps. And as we follow him, the Holy Spirit will help us do all these things. You know, and listen to me. Listen to me what I'm saying. If you drink and you get under the influence of alcohol, I'm not condemning you. God isn't here to condemn anybody. He is saying, warning, 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 warning. If you're married, it's going to cause a root of division in your marriage. The adversary will come into your marriage through that avenue. Come on. We weren't born last night. So we don't have to believe the lies of the adversary, right? That's God's love. He ain't judging anybody in the room. Amen. Hey, I've been there, done that. I just don't have the shirts in the closet anymore. God cleaned the closet out. Amen. I'm not carrying no skeletons in the closet. I'm not leaving that door open just in case. You know the lie of the adversary? Well, I'm going to keep that connection just in case this Jesus thing don't work, because I ain't going to mess up my relationships with the other people. truth? Truth? Jesus' word says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk. Whether it's wine, liquor, alcohol, it's the same thing. If it's beer, it doesn't matter. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How many know that the alcohol is spirits? And when you fill yourself with those spirits have an effect on your life. Hello? That's why he said, hey, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Because you can get drunk as a skunk and not have a hangover. You can get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've been so high in Jesus at times I can't even move. I'd be on the floor laughing and carrying on. Hallelujah. Come on now. Man, you've never really tasted a high until you got high on Jesus. Man, I've tried every high this world has to give. And none of them make me as high as Jesus does. Amen. Makes people wonder what you're up to. That guy's got to be stoned. He's laughing all the time. Right? Stone cold stoned on Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you with me here today? God's speaking to someone today. Why? Because he loves you. And the adversary is using that avenue to destroy you. He's using that avenue to destroy your relationship. He's using that avenue to destroy your family. And God's come to give life in the abundance thereof. He's come to heal, restore. He's come to reconcile. He's come to bring peace to you and I. Amen? Are you with me? Anybody here? Turn to me in 2 Peter chapter 3. The word of God says in verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But he says here in verse 18, but grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. In other words, he is saying, hey, when I grew up, I put away childish things. Amen. Do I have everybody in the church here? How many want to see this world changed? How many think this world's in trouble? Hallelujah. And we have the answer. And it's time for the church to start being the church. We think that we're going to be the world to win the world, and the world is laughing at it. It's a joke. It's a laughing stock. God said he separated us from the world. He called us to be peculiar. I'm about as peculiar as I get. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Come on now. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 3, he wants you to get this in your heart. We're standing fast. Hey, Reverend Levi. You got a double portion. Hebrews 3, verse number 6 says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence in the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Amen. We're going to stand fast. That's what God's saying to us. I was with an individual the other night that God had blessed with everything, home, car, all these different things. And he thought his old man was better than the new man and went back to his old things. And now he's homeless. He has no home. He has no car. He has no money. He has nothing but addiction. The lie and the deceit of the adversary making him think that the old life was better. It's a lie. 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 Those things, the adversary is a liar, and he deceives you and makes you think that things were really pretty back then, back there, but they weren't, and they aren't, because God has something far greater in store for you. Amen. He's got something far greater in store for you. And he's called every last one that's in this room. He's anointed every last one that's in this room. His purposes in your life is not going to change. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you a hope and give you an unexpected end. God is not going to change our minds concerning us. What he is saying to you is, will you change your mind concerning me? Will you change your mind concerning me? See, what was Paul said? Hey, what is my hope and the joy and the crown of my rejoicing? Isn't it even you standing fast in the presence of the Lord? Standing fast in the presence of the Lord. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3 for a moment. Now, I want you to get a hold of something today. Have you ever noticed that when the presence of the Lord comes into the house, there's some that receive the presence and some that don't? That you may be, one may be sitting over here and the presence you're really ministering to, and somebody might be sitting here and they're just stone cold and nothing's even happening to them. You ever notice that? The apostle Peter, when he stood up and spoke, Luke writes this in Acts 3:19. Listen to me. Listen to what it says. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. God's Spirit moves into the atmosphere. You know when God's Spirit moves into the atmosphere? I get up at 5:30 in the morning to get in the presence of the Lord. You know the first thing the Lord does when I get into his presence? He reveals something that's wrong that I've done and committed, and I have to confess. I have to repent. You know what repent means? I just can't ask him to forgive me. I got to change my mind. Because if I didn't change my mind, I never really repented. He says, repent and be converted. What converted means, when I changed my mind, I changed my direction. If you stand and ask God to forgive your sins and you're planning to keep on doing what you're asking him to forgive you of, there's no covering for that sin. He is not removing that sin. And don't think we can fool God. Now, God doesn't look at my mouth. God looks at my heart. And listen to me. He says, if we repent, we change our mind, and be converted, we change our direction, then our sins will be blotted out, means they'll be removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
But you see, that's what you get, okay, right? I got to change my mind. Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. That means I got to change direction. And in other words, if the Lord changes your mind, you got to allow him also to change your direction, because you can't still go in the same direction. In other words, just simply put, I was heading about as south as you could get. I was going straight to hell. And I put my trust and asked forgiveness for my sins in Jesus Christ, and I started to go north. North and south. Because the times of refreshing comes in the presence of the Lord. And listen to me, when the Holy Ghost shows up in the room, if you allow him to change your mind, change your direction, you're going to sense his presence, and God's going to start ministering to you in a supernatural way. Amen? I believe he's ready. This is the season where he's pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. I believe in the latter days. I believe there's a rain pour that's coming like it's prophesied in Hosea. I believe there's an outpouring that's coming. I believe there's a shifting in heaven. God is shifting things. God is ministering. God's going to do things he's never done before. It's not going to be like anything that you've ever seen or done before. It's nothing that's been practiced. It's never things been done. God's going to show up. It's going to be a Holy Ghost thing. It's going to, God, you know, we think that everything can be done by patterns. That we can put God in a box. Oh, if we do ABC, he's going to do this. Well, that's faithful. He's ABC, and he'll give us the outcome if we do the things in his word. But in this latter time, in these latter days, when God's pouring out his spirit, God's getting ready to do some things. Amen? Amen. God's getting ready to do some things. And he is saying, stand fast. Because if you can't stand fast, you won't stand in. And if you can't stand in, you won't stand then either. Amen. What am I talking about? He said, at his coming, at his return. How many know that Jesus is coming? How many know that in the prophetic clock and on the word of God, everything's been fulfilled. There's nothing besides this outpouring in the last days that's going to take place before he ushers in the return of the Lord. You know, I think there's going to be such a harvest of souls like never before. And what God is really going to come and heal, listen to me. God's going to come and heal the church that has been hurt and broken. The body of Christ that has been bruised. They've been wounded. They've been bruised and wounded by people. And that God, and people were looking at people as God. And God didn't call some people to do those things. So he's going to heal the brokenhearted. He's going to heal the bruised. He's going to set at liberty the captives. He's going to open some prison doors. And you know what? I see some prison doors opening. There's some mighty men and women of God that were wrongly put in prison. They messed up. They fell. But God's going to supernaturally open doors, and he's going to change things. And they're going to be some of the most on fire people you've ever seen in your life. They're going to come out because they're going to relate with people. Amen. They're going to come out with the power of God. Amen. They're going to come out and operate. And that's what we ought to be praying for them. Because he says he's going to set some captives free. He's going to open some prison doors. You know, that's why it's so important for us to love everyone, no matter where they're at. God didn't call us as the body of Christ to judge anybody. I'm not judging us, no one. If I point my finger at someone, there's three pointing back at me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We're not here to point at nobody, and we're not here to judge anybody. You know, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. We don't judge anybody. But if we see our brother Aaron, we warn him. We don't judge him. We show him what's right, what the right way, and we encourage him in love. Love cover a multitude of sins, right? But he says what? He said that is coming. Turn with me to Matthew 24, and I'll get ready to close this down. Matthew 24, verse number 42. Hallelujah. Do I have a witness here? Anybody hear what the Lord's saying? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says in verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doeth come. But know this, that the goodman of the house, if the goodman of the house would have known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Son of Man cometh. Look with me in 1 Corinthians. This is what the Lord wants to say here, and then I'll. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 4, Paul's thankfulness. He is saying, in verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you were enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind and no gift waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And what Paul was saying here, and what the Spirit of God is saying through Paul's teaching here in 1 Corinthians 1, it's so important that we don't come behind in the gifts that God has given to us while we're waiting for Christ's return. God has given every man gifts. Every woman has gifts in this room that is a child of God. And we're to put our gifts into operation for the furtherment of the kingdom of God. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. You're not done until it's done. God gave you that gray hair and that wisdom for purpose. We're not laying down the sword. We're not just laying down and waiting for his return. We're in active duty. You know, there isn't any reserve system in the kingdom of God. Even if you're housebound, you know what you're to be? You're to be an intercessor for the kingdom of God. You know, the church needs people to pray. All of us have a part. Amen. Amen. Just say, if it was just the mouth and I was the mouth, boy, then you just have to listen to me all the time. Are you with me today? You know, he's saying to us today that if we stand fast, and when we stand fast, we'll be able to stand in, and we'll be able to stand when he returns. The beloved John says in 1 John, Chapter 2, verse 28, in closing today. He says in verse 28, he says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." So in closing today, what is God just simply saying to you and I? Hey, will you take a stand? Will you stand fast in the faith so that you may stand in his presence and stand then when he returns? He says when he returns, there's going to be a trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ is going to raise, and those that are alive are going to be caught to meet the Lord in the air, to ever be with the Lord. But until that day, he says, "Behold, I'm standing at your heart's door and I'm knocking. Will you open the door and let me in?" He is not going to force himself on us, but he wants you to know that he doesn't want to do this without you. That he has a plan in your life, and that he loves you, and that he can give you the strength and the help you need to be an overcomer. Because the Word of God says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world." And we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. What are you saying? What are you speaking? Are you speaking things of life? Or are you calling things of death? The choice is ours. But he says today in closing, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Is that you? Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, I'm so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to do. In the closing moments of this service, maybe you're here today and maybe you do not know Jesus, or maybe one time you knew him, but you've drifted away. You're not at that place you need to be. And if that is you, would you say, "Pastor, I need to reaffirm my call and answer the call in my life today"? Is that you? May I see your hand? Is there anybody at all? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Secondly, Pastor, I just want to affirm today that God has called me. And I'm going to stand today just as an answer to him in front of these cloud of witnesses that I'm a chosen generation, that I'm a royal priesthood, that I'm a holy nation, that I'm a peculiar people. I'm one that's going to show forth the praises of him that called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, that one time I was not a people of God, but now I am. And I have gifts that God's given me, and I want them to be activated. And if that's you, would you just stand, please? Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands together, those that have stood up? Can we pray this prayer? Say, Father, thank you for calling me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the Holy Spirit. Lord, stir the gifts up within me. Stir every gift that's laying dormant. Father, you see me. Use me for your furtherment of your kingdom. Father, thank you for a fresh anointing that's upon my life. As the wind of the Spirit blows, I'm going to flow with the breeze. I'm not going to go against the current, but I'm going to go with your flow. Thank you, Jesus, for calling me and setting me apart for such a time as now. I give you all praise. I give you all glory. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.